The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into another week. Thanks for being with us. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline today. Bobby Hurley in what went down Saturday with the U of A. Caleb Love, Bobby's comments afterward. And just in general, a conversation about where Bobby Hurley is here at ASU. That is with John Wilner. Also, the Big 12 football schedules come out tomorrow morning. You're an Arizona State fan, you're a U of A fan. Tomorrow morning, you will know who you're playing, when you are playing. You don't know the time, but you know when and where. So, there. On some of them, not all of them, because it's TV. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their ongoing support. We will also bring back Bob Herrig from last week because the WM Open is this week. I'll be up at TPC Scottsdale, actually going up there today. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there on Wednesday, maybe Sunday. I've been going to the Open for many years, and I have learned that the best stories for what we do, at Sports 360 are Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and sometimes Sundays. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not really the deal because not many people pay attention to the golf. And Tuesdays, Wednesdays, they'll bring in the big names and you can talk to them one-on-one and all that stuff, or press conference, or if you get lucky and you know an agent who can get you one-on-one. So that is what our week is looking like. It is also Super Bowl week. And it's just a lot that's going on. So let's get in. Let's start with, so Luka Doncic. And I'll get over to Bobby. This is going to be a long opening segment, Iron Man, just so Jared knows, because I got a lot stored up. So it's Saturday night, and I get this text message about, 9:30, 10 o'clock, of Luka being traded to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, and Utah's involved and all that. I don't know about you, my very first thought was, this has to be Adam Silver looking at the lay of the land and saying, I have to get better in my biggest market for television outside of New York City, because we are getting pummeled publicly by the ratings people. We're getting pummeled by the NFL. We're getting pummeled across the board. And I have to make sure that LA, these next 4 months, is in the middle of something to go right. Now, it's my first thought. When I say to go right, meaning we have to do something to put LA on a higher pedestal so that people can be following what the Lakers are all about. When the Lakers are great, the league is great. They don't say that about Oklahoma City. They don't say that about Phoenix. They don't say that about San Antonio. They don't say that about Detroit. Do they say that about LA? The price tag of sending Luka for Anthony Davis seems pretty absurd. There's also this side of it. So Rick Welts, I'll tie Rick in on this. Rick was the president of the Phoenix Suns. Rick is one of the best executives I've ever worked around, easily. Rick left the Suns. He went to Golden State. Did great there, been in the Hall of Fame. He's knows his stuff inside and out on a business end. And he just took over Dallas like 3 weeks ago as president. Rick is not about having a star player not being able to go out on the floor much, be out of shape. That's what's been put out there. Do I think that Rick could have gone in there and said, hey, new owner, you're not Mark Cuban. This is what you should do. Jason Kidd looked like somebody had stolen his dog. He didn't know this was coming down until the 11th hour. So something nefarious had to happen. Something behind the curtain. Was it Adam Silver saying, I want to make sure that LA is good? I have to believe that to be true. Why would you take Luka and take him out of Dallas, a team that is growing in a good television market. If you know that LeBron is going to be gone and you want to make sure that LA is ahead of the curve, this stuff has to go through the league. It's not like Adam Silver gets a text alert saying Luca is being sent. He knows. They know. So how long was this discussion? Was it him and the ownership of the Mavs? Was it his business people saying, hey, look, LA's TV numbers are dropping. They're dwindling. What are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to take one of our best chess pieces and we're going to put it over in LA. If you don't think that happens, sorry. That happens. There's a reason why there's certain franchises that never really seem to completely bottom out. Why Luka didn't go to Boston or go to New York, I don't know. If the commissioner can do that, I would think the commissioner could step in with Jimmy Butler and say, you know what, this is embarrassing to the league. This is exhausting to the league. Bradley Beal. So I love these cheerleaders that are in our industry now. I just love them because there's people that are like, oh, everything's great. This is the best signing ever. And then, well, no, it's not. So all your cheerleading went for naught. All of your cheerleading went for nothing. You just sat there and faked your way through. Bradley Beal's sitting there saying, I'm not going anywhere. I hold all the cards. That'll be famous. That'll be one of those lines I'll use 10 years, 20 years from now. I hold all the cards. So Bradley Beal's holding the Suns hostage. The other part about that trade, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I'm on social media. The Suns are getting their asses kicked in Portland Saturday night. I'm not going to say butts kicked because they got their asses kicked. And somebody hands Kevin Durant a phone while he's on the bench in this blowout loss. The game is still going on, to show him that Luka and Anthony Davis were traded. I can't script this stuff. The game is going on. You're getting crushed. Hey, man, forget about the game. Forget about the team. Do you see what's on the phone? So Kevin Durant is on the phone. I'm sure glad that the fans that paid their money to watch that game got to fully engage Kevin Durant. You may think, oh, it's no big deal. You're just picking. No. There's a systemic problem in the NBA being relatable. There's a systemic problem in pro sports in a lot of spaces now being relatable to the average person to go out and put down their money or to go take their time and to invest in a product. You have players on the bench checking out a cell phone while the game is still going on. That's a bad look. No other way to put it. Bobby Hurley. So I was watching the game. First of all, the game was shown nationally, which very seldom happens with ASU and U of A. Very seldom happens on CBS with Bill Raftery and Ian Eagle doing the play-by-play. Very seldom. So here's this national audience. Here's this national stage. And yeah, it's a rivalry game. And yeah, the two teams are going back and forth. But I'm noticing as the game is progressing, like most every time out, Caleb Love is walking into ASU. And I don't care if it's ASU or U of A, but that's just not something that's very professional. But he's a college kid. Well, no, actually, he gets paid a lot of money through NIL, so start acting like a pro. I see John, and they cut the break. I see stuff, and the game is progressing. Raftery mentions a couple of times, here's this Hall of Fame broadcaster doing, I don't know if he's done five ASU games in his career, about how, you know, it's getting chippy out there, Ian. So it gets to a point where we saw the explosion. Bobby taking his team off the court, I am okay with. I'm actually fine with that. My understanding is, and we're going to talk to John Wilner about it here momentarily. My understanding is Bobby and, you know, Bobby's in a good space when it comes to the other side of the coin on this, when it comes to U of A. So he's not in a, you know, screw you and all that stuff. He's like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take my team off the court. Where he completely screwed up, and I believe today he will probably say something about, I overreacted, I shouldn't have said that. I want to apologize to U of A and Caleb. Of course, I'm not going to hold it over somebody's head, so on, so on, so on, so on, so on. I think beyond that, if you're down in Tucson, there's going to be a reaction. And the overriding storyline here is Bobby and ASU, it just may be time for Graham Rossini to make his first big move at the end of this year. I'm not saying here today that he needs to go, that Bobby needs to go, but sometimes you just have to press reset. Sometimes you just have to look at the situation and say, you know what, we've been together a long time, and it's not really getting much better. You could make the argument that it is. Jaden Quayton's coming here, and clearly he's a young Amari Stoudemire, in my view. Was a great, great pickup recruit. But at the same time, are you really seeing the progress? Are you really seeing the moving ahead of the organization? So, some of my thoughts. We will have John Wilner on the other side. That is next. And now, on this Monday, John Wilner joins us for a couple of minutes. Knows all, tells all. Wilner Hotline, nationally syndicated. We love chopping it up with John each and every week. Let's start with Bobby Hurley. We'll get over to football in a minute. Bobby Hurley has a meltdown against the University of Arizona. You wrote about it, very in-depth column. I am on your side of the street. It feels like this has run its course. Take me back to Saturday when you first saw and were reading, hearing what he said afterwards, John, and your thoughts.
I first saw it not live, but on about a 2-minute delay, saw the whole sequence, and watched the comments after the game, not only from Hurley, but also from Tommy Lloyd. I was very interested to see what Lloyd's vibe was, because I thought Lloyd handled it very well during the last minute and then immediately after the game. You know, my view is that Hurley got it half right. I think that he knows the temperature of his team the best. He front row seat to all the interaction that was going on throughout the game between Caleb Love and some other guys and his bench and his players. He knows if, like, the kindling is there for a fire in the handshake line. And must have thought getting his guys off the court was the best way to avoid a melee. So I totally respect that. I think that's reasonable. We have to trust that Hurley knows what's best for his players in that situation. But he completely blew it by going off the court himself and not seeking out Lloyd, shaking hands, explaining his situation, wishing Arizona the best of luck, right? Hurley is acting in two roles. Safety of his kids, incredibly important. But at the same time, he's representing ASU.
Mm-hmm.
The right thing to do is to rise above, make sure everything's good with Lloyd, show Arizona some respect at the coaching level. And then I think he would have handled it very well. So I'd give him basically a C, an F on one end and an A on the other.
Okay, post-game.
Post-game, I thought the comment about Caleb Love and the Big 12 all-conference team, he didn't mention Love, but clearly he was talking about Love. I got a vote, and I can tell you who I'm not voting for. That, to me, was unnecessary. That was Hurley maybe not being in total control of his emotions, not being able to walk back from that edge. There was no need for that, right? Even if he's not voting for gonna vote for Love, you don't need to say that. And I think that may be the one thing that extends this beyond its life cycle, what we would expect to be its life cycle. Is Arizona going to respond to that? I think that Tommy Lloyd might be under a little bit of pressure in Tucson to defend Love. Mm. So I'm not sure what day Lloyd has his press conference. My guess is it's tomorrow, probably. He's going to be asked about Hurley's comments about Love on the all-conference team. Where's Lloyd going to go? That could push this thing into the middle of the week.
I'll go back with you. When I saw it in real time, I thought it's really too bad that this game has disintegrated into this point, because
yeah,
on its surface, it was a great, great, it had a March feeling about it.
Yeah, it did.
And a lot of times, John, when U of A meets ASU, it doesn't have a March feeling about it.
Very true.
It's just another big stomp down for U of A, or if ASU every now and then pulls off the miraculous, people are thinking the tide's turned. I did not like that he didn't go over and talk to Lloyd. But my understanding through the years is Tommy and Bobby are pretty close. That's my understanding.
Yeah.
I don't know if that has changed in the last year, but my understanding is there's a lot of respect there for one another and what they do with their program. And if it was just, hey, I got to clear this. Okay. The comment about Caleb Love. So I've spoken to quite a few people that were within not even earshot, but that were right there. Throughout the game, Caleb Love was doing things that you may say, if you're a U of A fan, of course you're going to say, oh, well, that's just part of the deal. Deal with it. A kid coming over and saying stuff to coaches, players, getting in the middle of their huddles at times as they're getting off the court, not right in the middle of it, but walking through it and all that stuff. Bobby's assertion is that the referees didn't do a good enough job of cleaning it up or policing it throughout the game. I think he blew it in the post game. I understand where he was. I think you and I are pretty much aligned on this.
Yeah.
The bigger thing is Bobby will probably say today, I blew it. I apologize. I screwed up. I'm guessing that's what's going to happen today because they play Kansas State tomorrow night. And is that enough? Or is it, you know what? We've seen this for 10 years. We've seen this for a long time out of Bobby Hurley. I remember putting his dad on the very after the first year, and he pointed out, you know, Bobby's not coached very many games as a head coach. That doesn't fly anymore. This has always been something with Bobby. The ripping off of the tie, there's going to be an X handle that's Bobby Hurley's tie. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to go have fun with it. So long rant of it is, has this grown tired? Is it time for a reset? I think is a very fair question to ask.
It is Bobby Hurley being Bobby Hurley. It's kind of the same Bobby Hurley we saw when he was playing at Duke, right? It's what made him one of the greatest point guards in college basketball history. And it fuels him as a coach. So, yeah, you got to take the good with the bad if you're going to be Bobby Hurley's employee, right? Has it run its course? The wins and losses will determine that, I think. I mean, that to me, you have more tolerance for the way he acts and conducts himself if they're winning than you do if they're not winning. And the question is, what is the standard of success that ASU believes is reasonable? I would argue that Hurley has exceeded the historical standard at ASU with his NCAA tournament bids, the competitiveness, non-conference within the conference, right? I think he has raised the bar. Not a ton, but he has raised the bar on the whole over the sweep of his career. Is it petering out? I guess we'll have to see. Does the being in the Big 12 change the dynamic for ASU? Look, new conference. All right, now we need to make a change. I don't know, but I think what you're saying is valid. It all just depends on how much he's winning.
Well, and he's able to recruit Quayton to come here. Santa
he
to come here. It's not like he's scuffling. He's doing it with a below subpar arena situation given to him by his president.
Right, and the other thing is, it seems like ASU is kind of getting its act together in terms of NIL, and it's going to have its ducks in a row for revenue sharing. The new administration, Graham Mersini, they seem like they got it together. So do you want to give him a couple of recruiting cycles, 2-3 recruiting cycles in this new era to construct a roster that can really win at a higher level? You know, I think that that's not an unreasonable thing for ASU to say either is let's give him one more year now that we've got our recruiting resources in place.
Yeah, Graham Mersini needs to speak out on this too. I'm of the opinion because it was that much of a it was national. So the AD needs to weigh in. What did you think about what your coach said did and how that all went down?
And it's mostly 90% of this is one guy, right? It's Caleb Love. Hurley does not like Caleb Love. That's clear. I think Love with the chatter, you know, during the game, the forks down after every shot, right? I mean, to me, it's like, come on, dude, you're 23 and a half. You've been in college for 5 years. You're getting paid. Why don't you just let your play do the talking? I can understand it if you're a 19-year-old sophomore. He's a 23-and-a-half-year-old man. Enough is enough. But at the same time, it's a rivalry game, and Hurley can't let that stuff, you know, get to him the way it clearly does. And you know there's going to be all everything we saw in Tempe is going to be five times that when they go to Tucson in whatever it is, 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, and you have Ian Eagle and Bill Raftery courtside on CBS nationally for the national audience to see with one of the top broadcasting teams. This wasn't Pac-12 Network in the middle of the night that nobody
could find.
So it just didn't show well. All right, before I get you out of here, let's go through some football stuff. Ohio State, John, both coordinators. I mean, I know that this happens, but both of them leaving Ohio State.
Yeah, and the offensive line coach, I know.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on at Ohio State?
Don't let the door hit you, right? Here's what I'd say is, first, Chip Kelly, for those who don't know, just got hired by the Raiders to be their offensive coordinator. The reports are he's making $6 million. Tripling his salary at
Ohio State.
Gotta take that job. Plus, Chip's an NFL guy, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I'd say both about Kelly and Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator, who took what a lot of people would say is a downgrade going to Penn State as a defensive coordinator. Knowles, Kelly, to me, it's like it's not going to get any better at Ohio State. Let's leave while it's good, because if Ohio State goes to the national championship game next year and loses by a point on a last second field goal, the fans are going to be outraged, right? You can't get any better. Why not leave now and avoid the inevitable heat that you're going to take? Unless they repeat, it's going to be bad next year, right? That's the issue. Now, Ryan Day is a different situation. He's in charge of the program. But if I'm one of those coordinators, I would leave too right now while the getting's good. Stay ahead of the posse.
Well, in the Michigan loss, I mean, the Michigan game's going to sit there every year.
Sit there every year.
You don't beat Michigan, and you haven't beaten Michigan.
Right.
So,
I mean, the big one is Jim Knowles leaving for Penn State, right? Yeah. A team that Ohio State has beaten year after year after year. He's a Pennsylvania guy, but I think a lot of it is, I want to go to – if I can get Penn State over the hump, then I got a chance to be a head coach. Whereas with Chip, he's just, the NFL, that's a great gig for him. Raiders, you can't argue with that one at all.
Before I get you out of here, tomorrow is Big 12 schedule release day.
Yeah.
Are you expecting to see anything in particular? What are you most interested in seeing pop up?
Tomorrow morning, Mountain Time, I want to say it's 9 a.m. Mountain Time. I am just going to look for the instances of competitive disadvantages and advantages, right? Are we going to see teams with back-to-back conference road games? Are we going to see a team playing on the road against an opponent that just had a bye and has been sitting home for 2 weeks waiting? And, number of trips to Eastern time zone, where are they stacked in the schedule? The schedule rotation, who ASU and Arizona are playing, that's been set. The Big 12's got, I think it's a 6-year schedule matrix. We know the opponents, we know the locations, we don't know the order, but the order is often crucial to, resolving whether it's a fair and balanced schedule or whether there's some things that really kind of raise an eyebrow, like, boy, that's a tough assignment for them. So those are the little things kind of in the weeds, but I find scheduling to be fascinating, and it's crucial. Who you play and who you don't play in these giant conferences can set the table for whether you have success or not.
That is John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. He joins us every week. John, thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout.